love Might Delete Later.
I bloody hope you do. You can support our show by using the new Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there is no regular commitment.
Just smash that link in the show description and support us now so we can keep making this podcast.
Thank you.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to a bonus episode of Might Delete Later. It's a bone ep.
Read that in the script.
So we sometimes write a little fun intro, and I wrote bone ep very, very late on. I'm Stevie Martin, a person who feels social media is a big bad wolf.
And me, Gina Martin, who feels it is Red Riding Hood's little basket.
Look, I think that's very good. Our guest today is someone that I've known for a long time, ever since I saw her come out of my mother. I'm joking, I actually didn't see that. It's Gina. It's just going to be us this episode.
Yes. So our second guest is someone I met 28 years ago, and shortly after she asked Mum if she could marry me while we were bathing. It is, of course, my favourite comedian, absolute idiot who I want to crush and put on a cracker, Stevie Meredith Martin. You can tell he's the more affectionate one in our relationship.
Okay, I haven't ever released my middle name, and I'm horrified that that's just occurred. We thought that going forward with the podcasts, we were going to do a feature at the start of each episode where we would discuss like what's going on with our social media and things that we would like to bring up and talk about with each other. But before we do that, we thought, why not just check in halfway through the break? So please do follow us at Might Delete Later Pod on Instagram and at Might Delete Pod on Twitter. We discussed a lot of things today. It got quite deep.
It did, yeah, it did. And the post that we discussed, you can also find on there too.
So for series two, we've very brutally murdered Follow Unfollow Block, and it's going to be going online only, so you can see all the guests doing unfollow. What will they say? You can go to our Instagram and watch that, but you won't be able to listen to it on the actual podcast. Instead,
a little extra con con.
We're going to add a little feature at the start where we basically check in with each other's social media. I want to say journeys, but that won't make me die, so I'm going to say vibes, which is only slightly less worse.
Yeah, we're just going to ask each other what's in our drafts each week. So, like, what's on your mind? What's going on in your head about your social media feed? For example, Stevie, what is in your drafts?
Okay, I've got one. So, during lockdown, I was obviously doing more online content because I had nothing else to do. And I started a weekly Twitch stream, which is like an online hour-long improvised book club where me and a guest talk about a book that we've literally just made up on the spot. It's really fun.
It's actually the best thing ever.
That's very kind.
I'm obsessed with it. Everyone has to go and watch it. It's such a great concept and it's so silly. You'll love it.
8 p.m. Thursdays, twitch.tv/@StevieM. The S is a 5. There's no app either. Yes, anyway, I've done this Twitch stream and I've basically been doing like sketches online and stuff. And also, by sort of coincidence, I had a couple of tweets go viral, maybe like 4 over time. And each time that happens, you get, well, I've got like a surge in followers. So I have a lot more followers than I did when we started this series. And I also am a lot more involved now online and on Twitter because I have to be because of the Twitch thing and all of this. Essentially, I've just discovered that it's like, this is the thing that's in my draft. All of those things like are very much public knowledge. But like, the thing is that,
oh my God,
the whole aim... The whole aim of Twitter, you feel it's like a subconscious aim. It's all based on numbers, isn't it? So you, even if you're like, I don't want loads of followers, Well, then each you sort of do, don't you? You can't help it. And even, and you kind of can't help thinking, like, well, what would it be like that if, when every time I tweeted, it got like at least, I don't know, 100 or 200 or 300 or 1,000, whatever your number is, likes or whatever. And it makes you, you can't help but equate it with success, because that's how the entire platform is built, to make
and
you feel...
Sorry, and also the entire world. You've been taught since you're a kid that numbers heightening equals success. You've got marks in school. You got, it's literally numbers higher means success. So why would your brain think this is any different?
Yeah, definitely. Otherwise, you know, we'd all just be like little Twitter eggs and we wouldn't really tweet, and we'd just look at other people's tweets and we never tweet, and that's fine. But what I'm saying is, if you are kind of engaged in it, then you're engaged in it, and it sort of takes on a kind of narrative of like, oh, well, I guess I'm hoping to get, in quotation marks, better at it. And then I sort of, I suppose, did get, not better in massive quotation marks, better at it in the terms of like some of my tweets did well. And every time it happened, like, I'd get so excited for like half an hour and be like, oh my God, this is amazing. And then I would feel, every time, I'd feel incredibly hollow, like a dead tree, and very like, I didn't really know what to do with myself. And so also very
what
silly.
What happens next type feeling? Yes. Like what is there next?
And why was I excited when that happened? And also, this is very silly.
It's that like classic thing, isn't it? Where it's like, nothing that you actually want, when you get to it, is ever as good as you think it's going to be.
Yes. And also as well, then you get, you're more in, like the moment you see something do a little bit well, you kind of, you're further in now. So now I'm like, why is that tweet not done well then?
Yes.
You know? So like,
you,
I did,
you set the bar higher for yourself, I guess.
I did an absolute, what I thought was an absolute banger of a tweet. Quite close after the viral one.
What was the viral one? Tell our listeners.
Look, I've got a few.
Was it about bread again?
No, it wasn't about bread again, which is actually it. So I had sort of two quite close together. One was, hey, did anyone else buy clothes during lockdown so they'd emerge as a new person but now can't wear any of them because the clothes are, for example, insane? That did very well. And then one went properly viral, which was a picture of my tortoise eating weeds on a slate.
Yeah.
They were all done kind of nice. But like sometimes on a Friday, I arrange my tortoise's weeds on a slate. So it's a fancy dining experience. And that got like 20,000. And like, you know, not, we're not talking like 100 million thousand, but like enough that it's like, oh God, okay.
Oh, yeah, that is viral. Well. That is visceral.
That is viral. And then I did one, which I thought was like quite a funny one. And this is the problem with the viral things. This is why it's in my drafts. Astounded to find HSBC stands for Hong Kong and Shanghai Banking Corporation and not Herman's Sexy Bank Club. I think that's way funnier. And it got like 80 likes. And I was like, well, look, I would, why am I like, I didn't do very, like, why am I bothered? And something, it makes you bothered when you weren't bothered before. So that was my little thing that I want to say. Like, if you're kind of thinking like, well, my tweets never do numbers and it's always rubbish. Well, to be honest, like it's, of course you kind of can't help but want that, but it's a bit of an odd feeling when it happens and then nothing really happens. I've just got like a few more followers, but it doesn't mean all my tweets do well. A bit more pressure to be funny every time or do the same thing every time. If you're not doing your tweets for being funny, I read a thing about trauma and how like if you are consistently, if you do very well on Twitter because you suddenly like had a very traumatic experience, then suddenly like people aren't responding to you when you're not talking about your traumatic experience. Then you're like, am I only supposed to talk about trauma for you to like get, like engage?
That's what makes me relevant online, is me oversharing my trauma, and it's like, that's not a healthy space to be in, because you remove the level of choice. Then the level of choice of what you share is removed in some way, which makes it really murky.
Yes, very murky. Isn't that what Stormzy says at the beginning?
I was just
of
about to
songs?
Say, as I said murky, I was like, I don't want to say murky anymore because it sounds like I'm trying to be cool, but I actually just meant murky with a U, not an E.
Mm-mm-mm.
Oh, I just love Stormzy. Let's do a podcast about him.
What's in your draft this week?
Oh my God,
Gina,
I'm so glad you asked.
Okay.
I do this thing on Instagram, which is called Vitamin P. And it started at the beginning of lockdown because I didn't really know how to help during the pandemic. So I just thought, well, I'll put some content up that just makes people feel good because everyone is feeling bad. And that's the only thing I actually knew about the pandemic. I felt like there were so many hot takes of like, normally with viruses and certain, no one knows anything. So
yeah.
let's just take a backseat if we're not an epidemiologist or whatever.
I know that I like dogs.
Yeah, exactly. I know that I like dogs. I know I like animals. I know I like humanity at its best. So let's just all look at some nice things. So I did that. And I did it every day. I did it every day since middle March. So I guess every day for about 3 months.
Do you want to just explain? It's a collection of TikTok videos.
Such a good point. Yeah, it's a collection of like roundup of the best stuff on TikTok, and it's just all this lovely content that makes you smile. And vitamin P, it was a dose of positivity for your day, I guess, and P stands for positivity, and I was doing it. And then recently I started to get some more work and stuff, and I just hadn't had any work or like any reason to get up out of bed really for the past, since March. So it was like, okay, well now my day is being filled up with stuff I need to actually do that I'm responsible for, and I started selling some of my art and stuff. So it was like, oh, I don't have the time. And I realized that I was kind of staying up till like 1 a.m. to post vitamin P. It's like, I have to get this weasel video out or else I'm a bad person. And then around the time where I was like, oh, I'm staying up really late to do it, I basically came to the end of my tether with messages I was receiving. Most of the messages are just people being like, this is amazing, it makes me really happy. But I was getting too many messages from people which were basically saying, reacting to any given TikTok. So say there's one of a baby being swaddled and someone was like, can you please not promote this method of swaddling? Like, it's really dangerous to the baby, and sending me like medical papers. And then someone else was like, can you please not share videos of people who own exotic animals? And there's like someone who has a bird. And then I was like, can you please not show examples of like wildlife near humans? Can you please not show? But it literally got to the point where some of them were like, I think someone's trolling me. Like, someone was like, you shouldn't feed your dog that. So can you it was cheese. So can you please not post a video of someone? The assumption is that anything I post, I promote. So any way in which people are living, acting, drinking, swaddling, feeding in any of those videos is me being like, make sure you do this to your dog. It's not. So make sure you swaddle your dog. So I basically posted a video being like, hi guys. Hi everyone. I know most of you love vitamin P, and it's a very small percentage of you that send these messages, but if you have a problem with content, please send that message to the person who makes the content. Actually, I wouldn't even recommend that, because if you see something on the internet that isn't actually hurting people, then just move along. But if you really need to, contact them, not me. It's not that deep. It's just fun videos. And I guess like in that moment, I lost a bit of my love for it. So I wanted to continue doing it, because I thought about, you know, when you're in school and like the naughty kid ruins it for everyone, and then like no one's allowed the snacks at lunchtime. I don't know, like something like that. Yes. And then you're like, oh, I didn't complain and I love it. Why don't I get the snacks? Thinking like that about all my followers who love it. So continued posting it. And then this week I've been trying to like, I don't know, be a better human and go to bed early, like look after myself a bit more. And in doing so, you know, it gets to sort of 10 and I'm like in bed and I've like got my Sudocrem on my spots. I've got my little sockies on.
You've got your moisturised feet. You've got your little nappy on.
I've got my little nappy on. I've swaddled Geordie. I've fed a dog some cheese. And I'm like, it's time for bed. And then the lights go out and my brain goes, you didn't do vitamin P.
Oh my God.
And me 3 months ago would have got up and done it.
Yeah.
And me now is, you know what? Like, it's really important to bring people joy, and I genuinely fucking love doing it. But it's like, if I need to not do it, I'm not going to do it. And previously I would have probably put a message up saying, I'm really sorry. But I got a message from someone I posted about not doing it. And this girl said, love vitamin P, but love more that you're just going to bed early and you don't feel guilty for not posting it because you're looking after yourself. And I was like, yes.
Also, if someone is like freaking out because you haven't posted vitamin P for one day, then actually they really do need to do a lot of work on themselves.
Or just so get TikTok, really.
Just, well, yeah, exactly. I was posting a seal picture every day throughout lockdown.
Yeah, seal of the day.
And when, seal of the day. And when I don't, I get really panicky and I can't find a seal. And the amount of times my boyfriend's been like, what's wrong? And I've been really tense. I'd be like, oh, it's because I can't find a seal.
Why this is leafing through seal books all day?
Stupid. And that is the, you got to keep an eye on that, because that's like the attitude towards what, you know, what you're very aware of your audience, and that's a really good thing. But you can be,
but it can't be to the detriment to yourself and your own life. That's the thing. And I think now it's in my drafts is, I don't feel bad about not posting vitamin P every day. When I get around to it, I'm really glad everyone enjoys it, but I also have other things I need to do, and that's okay.
That's really great. So you sent us, and by you I mean listeners, sent us your first post and also some like embarrassing ones like as well that aren't your first ones. Essentially, we're just going to use this little section to read out some of our favourites that you have sent us. And thank you so much. And please do send more to mightdeletelaterpod@gmail.com. We've had lots of messages on Twitter and on Instagram at mightdeletelaterpod and at mightdeletepod.
I'm going to start with one of my favourite ones we were sent. This one is a pretty funny. Pretty funny. And it reminds me of the kind of things I would do when I was like a small 18-year-old and was like, I'm going to do big things and you're all going to see it. Rose Howard. Hi, Rose. Sent her first Facebook post, or one of her first Facebook posts to the makes me laugh, to the Might Delete Later Pod Instagram. It's on 1st December 2010, and she just wrote, "Songwriting about your own experiences," and then a heart. But you know the Tumblr heart with like the little, what's the side triangle called, and the three?
Oh yeah, it's like a more than or less than triangle that you use in math.
And it's clearly like it's just that thing where you're like, I'm songwriting, I'm creating, and you guys need to know that. And it's just also so sincere.
Guys, can you just like stop asking me about it, because it's not a big deal. I'm just trying to create. I love that so much.
I mean, sure, are we putting words in Rose's mouth about her own tweet? Facebook? Yes. But that's how I felt when I used to Facebook status, things like that.
Of course, that's how I felt too. And also as well, that was, you know, it was your own little scrapbook of life. Whereas now,
and
it's
you were
like
presenting yourself, like, so yes, you wanted to present a more creative or cool version of yourself. Rose said, when she sent this message, she said, just listen to your first episode, loved it by the way. I was inspired to scroll back like 10 years on my Facebook and I'm crying, it's fucking hilarious. This one was a highlight. So it's got one like by Alicia Boxall. So Alicia was really supporting Rose back in the day.
Maybe she was like a big time music producer. Okay. What we haven't found out is that actually Rose got a record deal off the back of a Facebook status. It's so sad that doesn't happen. That's just not a thing that could really happen.
I know.
Also, I do remember, and I don't think we've mentioned it on the podcast before, that when Facebook statuses first started, everything was like your name and is. So it would be Stevie is, Stevie is, Stevie is.
Oh, yeah.
And so you had to like grammatically change it and going to be like, okay, I guess another hard day of trying to make this sentence fit in with the grammatical Stevie Martin is. And then it wasn't there and I was like, I could literally start, and I think I still started it with my own name because I was like, I don't know, I don't know what to do. But it was a real moment. It's like, I could start this with any word.
I can say whatever word. I want.
What a time.
Free speech.
I've got one here. We've got a message from George. Thank you so much, George. And Their first tweet was, I'll just read what they've written. My first tweet was to Ashton Kutcher. He said he was going on a diet and I tweeted back, sounds like a good idea. Any tips? And then the like colon and a P. So it's like a little sideways man sticking his tongue out. Using that very emoji. Also, I think I might have tweeted Demi Moore too. And I think that was a real kind of,
like, Ashton's going to get back and be like, hey, George, here's some tips. Want to chat diet?
Look, he might,
but you did feel like you were like, oh my god, celebrity's like right here and they have an account and I have an account, so we, yeah, it's just like MSN chat.
The thought of me being aged like 16 and Brandon Flowers from The Killers being accessible like that is terrifying for him. Like, I would have definitely just, you know, like I would have done one of those accounts that you look at and it's called like Brandon Flowers' Babes or something. And it's, yeah, just, it's like a
fan
like
account.
Like a directioner, yeah. And it would just
what
be,
what would Brandon Flowers' directioners, quote unquote, be? Like the flower patch or something like that.
The flower girls, obviously.
The flower girls. And then there'd be loads of videos of you on Tumblr, like picking apart flowers, like, he loves me, he loves me not. It'd be such a vibe.
I'm coming out of my car and I've been doing just fine.
You're coming out of your car?
Oh my god, that's not the lyric.
Coming out of my car and I've been doing
just fine. Oh my god, I haven't listened to that song in so
long. My cage, you weirdo.
When I was younger, I thought it was coming out of my cave. So when I found out it was coming out of my cage, that was a real blow. And now, all these years later, it's devolved into, I'm just sort of getting out of my car and I've been doing just fine.
What a boring song.
It's just about someone going to the mechanics.
Tesco. All right, okay. I've got another post you were sent in. God, that was great. I'm going to think about that for a long time. So this is quite a special one. If anyone follows Henry J. Garrett on Instagram, formerly Drawings of Dogs, He's an incredible illustration. He's an incredible illustration, actually, which is amazing. No, he's an incredible illustrator. He does wholesome memes on social justice themes.
Oh.
And he sent in his first post, which, if you've seen his illustrations now, it's amazing because they're very colourful and he's got very specific style. And he sent his first one, which is, I'm showing Stevie on Zoom now, but you can look at this on the Might Delete Later Pod Instagram. Look at the drawing. It's his first ever drawing.
It's a little line drawing of a dog. What is the dog saying?
And it says, Father's Day card for my papa, starring Billy. Billy's Henry's dog. And the dog saying, I swear to God, you throw that stick one more time, you can go get it yourself, dickhead.
Excellent.
It's like his first ever illustration. It's so lovely to see like where he's gone from there. So I thought that was quite a nice one.
That's very, very heartwarming.
Okay, so we've got another one. This one is from Lucy, who is Yes Lucy Wright on Instagram. And she sent me a selection of her Facebook posts. First one says, and it was June 3rd, 2010. It says, okay. Can someone tell me why I'm on my own if there's a soulmate for everyone? And a love heart. One like, no engagement.
Oh, no.
I know. Next one. I remember what you wore on the first day you came into my life. And I thought, hey, you know, this could be something. And then the final one is, I don't have the time and I don't have the patience. What do you take me for? Why am I still waiting? Because while you decide, I'm fucking suffocating. Because if you can't find the time, my bleeding heart won't make it. Now I realise she's doing lyrics.
Understood. That was not clear. But
because
still.
Because at first I was like, oh my God, she said, okay, firstly, I'm a huge fan of you both. I'm an avid listener of Nobody Panic. That's Stevie's podcast. My friends and I do a weekly Zoom quiz. And one week we did a guess whose Facebook status this is round. And I died looking back at mine. I was clearly having an emotional time. I'm glad you enjoyed. That is golden.
I read somewhere, and it might have been in, I think it was in like a novel, but someone was like, or maybe it's a very well-known thing, but someone said that you're always on social media for somebody. I think that is something that when you're younger is absolutely true.
So oh my gosh.
You're yes. obviously on it for yourself, but you know, for about 10 years, like I was not friends with like my first boyfriend when we broke up. I wasn't friends on Facebook with him anymore. So then I would make sure that like my profile picture was something that I wanted because I knew that he would be able to see that, but nothing mm-hmm. else. And then when you got the banners over the top, like the big long pictures at the top, and when that became public for everyone, then it was like, oh my God, and then now I've got two instances to show
to send him a non-verbal message.
And then I would look at his and be like, is he sending a non-verbal message back now? What's so nice is now I'm fully released from that. But that's actually probably because I'm in a very long-term relationship. If I wasn't, and you're having like, you know, I still see friends of mine who tweet.
That's true. And it's not like, an age thing necessarily.
Definitely not. Because if you're on Tinder, then your Facebook profile or your profile picture, does it still get pulled through? Like, is it
honestly,
still...
yeah, neither of us could say, could we, really?
We've never been on Tinder, but I do remember that there was definitely a point where it was, because you'd know when someone was on it, because suddenly their like Facebook profile would be like mega hot, and you'd be like, whoa, okay, someone's on Tinder. And also, like, if you're being messed around by someone, or you've been ghosted by someone on Twitter,
you don't feel
like
you can say it. So, like,
you say it on
Twitter.
You can
say it in a different way, and that's why. Yeah, that's so true. Like Lucy said about their soppy lyrics with no likes. Like those lyrics are probably her at the time trying to communicate something to a boy, especially when you're younger or a girl. Or anyone. But especially when you're younger and you don't have, well, I don't know about Lucy, but I didn't have the emotional literacy until I was about 25. So to say how you feel. And even then you can't, you're uncomfortable, maybe you can't communicate it. So yeah, the lyrics are so good. That's probably why, Stevie, you posted coming out of my car when you fancied that guy.
You're trying to get Brandon. I'm really glad that he wasn't on Twitter, because I would have tweeted him coming out of my car and he wouldn't have known what I was talking about. Oh, but yeah, God. I realized then that I said, oh, that's a thing for when you're young. And I realized that's actually a very good example of being very narrow-minded, because actually it was just from when I was young, because I wasn't in a long-term relationship. But if you're not in a relationship and you are trying to get someone's attention, then oh my God, you can't. I wouldn't be able to help doing that on
Twitter. Oh no, neither would I.
Oh, it'd be absolutely.
I mean, honestly, aren't we just all doing that in some way now? Like, I mean, yes. Not maybe for relationships, but if anything, you're trying to get, you know, I don't know. I know I still probably do that in some way, just with people. Like, I'm just trying to get people to see how I.
Why do you think
feel,
I mentioned my first boyfriend? I'm joking. I'm fully joking.
He comes in now, like, hello.
No, awful. No. Poor guy.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Right, okay, let's go to our worst posts. Our worst post since we started this series. I tweeted because I got really, really upset about constantly seeing people posting incredible things that they'd done during lockdown. And it was like, I don't know who you're posting this for. Like, surely you've posted this to your like friends and in WhatsApp groups, and you've like, why don't you just tell your friends? And then everyone who cares for you and knows you will be like, oh, great. I tweeted, what's wild is you don't have to post a list of your achievements during lockdown. I know. You can just be proud in your head and discuss with friends without making other people feel bad. Crazy, right? Now, the issue with this is that what I shouldn't have done is put without making other people feel bad, because that's not what the intention behind these lists of like,
that might be
I'm
the
doing
outcome,
great.
But yeah.
Yeah, so that made it sound like I thought everyone was posting these things to make other people feel bad, which of course they're not. But I do unfortunately stand by the kind of like bragging on social media I really don't like.
We had a very interesting conversation just off the back of this, just as sisters, where like what we do in our jobs and our lives, you have a podcast, you're a comedian, you have reviews, you have write-ups, you write for almost every amazing platform. I've quite clearly been screaming about politics for 3 years. And I have an Instagram with lots of followers, whatever. Like that's just the work in the world we live in, the world we exist in. And often that, I think a lot of people would see the things we post, for instance, you saying, I've done this new piece for The Guardian, or me saying, yeah, see how this new podcast, and may not see it as bragging, but the reaction would be the same. It would make them feel like, oh, everyone's nailing it. It's Gina or Stevie nailing it. We don't see it like that. But actually our jobs almost by dint are probably making people feel bad. That's how your job works.
You have to post it. Yeah. So, but then you realize that, of course, yeah, inadvertently, maybe I look like I'm being like, so I wrote, God, just whoops, written another article for a broadsheet. Like, anyway, I got so much shit for it that like, yeah, fine. I now understand that it came across as very bitter and there's a very fine line between my opinion on social media and other people's opinions. And I think it's not fair to tar everyone writing their nice achievements because it makes them feel good and it makes other people maybe be inspired. Like there's two sides to everything, isn't there? And I very
but
much
it's weird
saw
because
it
it's like
thing.
why can't you say, I have two things to say on this. Like, why can't you go, hey, you don't need to post your achievements because people have a hard time, and people go, oh yeah, some people are, yeah, she's probably right. I'm not, but she's probably right. But the reason why you got such a big reaction to that is because so many people do it and felt attacked by your tweet. That's why people, but then,
yes,
interestingly,
that's true. And also it does say a lot about me that annoys me, because it doesn't annoy a lot of people. And I am quite insecure about like how I spend my time and the things that I achieve and or don't achieve. So I get very, very like eye rolly. But to be honest, like actually what I'd seen, what the thing that the post had sparked me, I had done those things. Like I did kind of work out a lot during lockdown, and I've been working on a book. So, but I was just annoyed that someone would read that and feel like they should have done those things, and I felt like that wasn't fair.
I see
fair,
what you mean.
You know, and which really, sounds too empathetic, to be honest.
Well, no, I think quite interestingly though, because you did a tweet which I actually found before we were about to record. You did a viral tweet in March before we started the podcast, and it said, "Oh my God, stop tweeting! Now's the time to finish that project. May we be excused from churning out quality content during a global pandemic, please? Today, I looked at my own leg for 45 minutes. I just stared at it." And I would probably argue that that sentiment it actually isn't that different to the tweet that you got loads of shit for. It's just that it was articulated less pointedly towards people.
Yeah,
but that one went viral. You got 35,000 or 40,000.
Yeah,
likes.
I didn't get any.
So it's interesting how like
Yeah,
it's almost the same. You're saying the same thing. Like, can we be? But that one's like, oh, don't feel the need to. Let's not be forced to be producing and all of these things. Whereas the other one was more, if you've produced, I don't necessarily need to hear about it because a lot of us are struggling.
Your intention was to make people feel bad, so which obviously it isn't. So anyway, right, what was your worst post since?
Worst post doesn't actually exist anymore because I deleted it. But you
good,
can see
you might delete later. That's
might
fine.
Delete later, but you can see the second post on my, well, we'll see, I might delete later pod, the reaction to it. So obviously the Black Lives Matter movement was reignited a lot. And still is. That's it. Wasn't a moment. It's still happening. And I posted on the 2nd of June. 2nd of June was this blackout Tuesday thing.
Mm.
Now I obviously the conversations and this massive dialogue and this kind of upheaval online and on social had already been happening for like a month by this point, all the way through May. And on the 2nd, I woke up. I felt like basically for 2-3 weeks, it was kind of all I was consuming was like reading and trying to find out exactly what was happening in all these different parts of America and what was the dialogue in certain places and how are the people that I've been learning from for 3 years reacting to this and were they okay? And, you know, my DMs were full of young women from my community, young white women being like, hey, I need help with this and blah, blah, blah. And I was trying to figure out how do I help my friends who are getting so many DMs and whose platforms that my friends who are black women who are the platforms just exploded and all they were getting was millions of messages from white people like, well, what do you think about Stacey Dooley doing that thing last year? And it's like, how do I help my friends dealing with all this stuff? So it felt like obviously quite, I think for everyone, it was like a tumultuous 3 weeks. And then on 2nd of June, basically I woke up and I had loads of messages and they weren't just from followers. They were from friends as well on my WhatsApp. I say loads, enough, like a handful. And they were basically like, most of the messages that were from followers were like, why haven't you posted for Blackout Tuesday? And they were kind of, I guess, intimating like, everyone else is doing this and it's really disappointing to see that you're not doing it and you're not giving it the time, whatever. And I had no idea what Blackout Tuesday was. Because I think my social media and who I follow is probably more pointed towards the people who maybe necessarily didn't see Blackout Tuesday as a very valuable thing.
Yeah,
and weren't
posting
about
it. Follow more actual black people that were using.
Who were and anti-racism educators who were like, black swear isn't going to necessarily help us. So I hadn't really seen it.
Mm.
And then I got a handful of messages from friends or people I know, like colleagues, friends, acquaintances and stuff, say, which is really hard, I think, but basically saying, I'm waiting to see if you do it to know if I'm allowed to do it.
Oh, Christ.
And so the immediate feeling is like, okay, I need to So now I've just woken up. I haven't even had my coffee yet. I haven't even said hi to Geordie yet. But now I need to start researching this because I don't know what people are A, angry about me not doing, B, asking me if I'm going to do. Like it was a whole, what the hell? So I just kind of looked into it. And I think because I just sort of woken up and I wasn't really engaging properly with what people were asking of me and I was just a bit, you know, flummoxed really, or bamboozled by messages. I just looked into it and it said, the first thing I read said, post Blackout Tuesday. And then basically the whole idea is that white people will take a step back and allow black creators to take the space on social and we're turned off, we're muted, we're silenced. And I thought, yeah, that's a great idea. Because, you know, as I hear that sentence, well, that aligns with how I feel about these things, about not white centering, not taking up space in these conversations. So that works for me. So I posted it and literally as I did it, you know, when you like, I don't know, you do something and you can just feel like a, you know, when it says the seconds of how long it's been on. And yeah. I was like, oh no, I don't. And the reason why was because I was like, I don't really like social media trends. I don't know what they achieve.
Yeah.
They're very hard to find the origin of why they happen. We've seen that with the challenge accepted thing and lots of other things. And it was like, I rarely do stuff like this without doing actual research. And I'd just been duped into almost doing that because there was so much pressure coming from like friends and like all these people. So I deleted it straight away. And then I sat there and I read a whole bunch of stuff for a couple of hours over breakfast and thought about it. And I reposted on Twitter, basically to the effect of just a thread that kind of said, I posted this because I thought it was meant to quiet and people like me from my community. I realized it's flooding the Black Lives Matter hashtag and completely drowning out all of the voices that we're trying to, we say we're trying to platform and uplift and support.
Yeah.
And I feel very uncomfortable about it because it's not really doing anything, and people, most of the people posting it are posting it with the Black Lives Matter hashtag, which kind of shows A, that they don't really know what they're posting or why. And what
because people were using that hashtag, like Black people were using that hashtag to organize, to see where protests were happening, to like understand what was going on. And then it was just full of white people with their Black like squares. And also as well, like even if that wasn't happening, like just the fact that it's like, I'm actually going to take a step back. So then you just post a gigantic Black squares. Like
just take a step back.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. My main gripe was like, I, as a white woman who is publicly learning, I guess to an extent, I'm held in some space as like someone who knows more, but that's only by people in my community who haven't started the work. That's the only people who ask me stuff because I'm nowhere near someone who knows enough.
Yeah.
And so it was like, oh, like I have 60,000 followers. Do I want to be like promoting like performative allyship? Because most of the people who are posting Black Squares have never picked up a book on anti-racism. Like you can tell they've never talked about it before.
Yeah.
That's fine. But then don't be posting. There'll never be a time in conversations about racism or anti-Blackness or conversations about gender inequality or conversations about trans rights or whatever, where you know, as a person from the community who is not oppressed by those structural inequalities, so as the dominant community, so a white person or a cis person or a straight person, there'll never be a time when you feel like you know exactly how to act in these situations. There will only be times when you get better and your instincts are better because you've done the work. And so like when you're a person who with the black light, with the, sorry, the Blackout Tuesday thing, it's like, you know, I know someone who posted the black square and posted that black square not with the Black Lives Matter hashtag because they'd read and knew that that wasn't what you do. They posted it and they specifically posted it as a marker for them that on their, they can see from that date, everything they started the work and everything changed from then, and they've been doing the work every day since they posted it. Only you know why you're posting it, and it's just being honest about that. And also in the conversation of like silence, you know, the silence is violence, you know, phrase that you see a lot, like it is also true that silence isn't violence. Learning is actually also silent, and I wouldn't want to speak for anyone, but I would say that there is never going to be a time when, as a white person, if you've not read in anything or you don't really know what you're talking about, there's never going to be a time for you to start talking because you think you need to. It's actually always better to just learn and be silent and do the work, and then like when you know, you'll be saying stuff.
You said to me a million times, this conversation requires nuance, and social media just does not encourage nuance.
Social media trends, it's possible.
Yeah, like it's possible to be nuanced on social media, of course, but it's also very, very difficult in general to be nuanced. Like you have to, even the people that I think they're nuanced aren't, because they're doing the same nuance over and over again because that's their brand on that platform, or that's their, so you're actually, you never see the full person because you can't, because that wouldn't work with the consistency that is required of social media.
No, it's not the platform for it. And like that's what that nuance thing I found very hard with that post, which is my worst post, because I was basically saying, look, I've taken my square down because I just don't want to, you know, encourage performative allyship or whatever you want to call it. However, if you're doing the work, post way black squares, be my guest, only you know what you're doing. You know, if I had 100 followers and I didn't really use Instagram that much, but I wanted a marker of when I started and decided, okay, this is, I'm bullshit here, I'm not doing enough, what is going on, like my friend did, then great. But someone with 60,000 followers who's a very visible white woman, it's just not helpful for me to be posting that. And I think that's what I was trying to get across. But because social media is difficult for nuance, I'm not sure I communicated that properly.
It's so difficult because there isn't a right answer and there isn't a wrong answer. There's often just have a go. Right, let's move on to best post. My best post is... I actually don't really know if it's my best post because I do just prefer the ones that are really silly. And I would refer you back to Herman's Sexy Bank Club. I think that's my best post in the last year, but it's performed poorly.
So you're choosing this more because it performed well, you think?
No, I'm choosing this more because I felt like it was I stepped out my comfort zone. Basically, I won't read it again, but basically, like, there was a bit of a mini Me Too moment in comedy, and I tweeted about a particular, to be honest, I actually was tweeting about a number of particular male comedians that felt like saying things like, oh, well, my eyes have been opened now since some women told me that my behavior was wrong. And I found that very, like, you knew anyway, you know, like that whole, and also a lot of them were kind of like, you know, in their 30s when they claimed to have had their eyes open about very basic behavior that you just don't do. And so I tweeted about it, and I found it like quite empowering because I never tweet about anything to do with things like that. The reason I thought it was my best one, because I think it did like push it on a little bit, so people then started talking again about it when it sort of
you
died
added
down.
To that sort of
I think I did the, actually add a little bit, and it kept going, even though ultimately the momentum that I was trying to, and I got commissioned off the back of it to write an article on the Telegraph, which I also think added to it. And I very rarely,
which
think
by
I
the
add
way,
to
two of my male friends messaged me about, said it was really good that they read it and they made me think about stuff. So that was good. And one of them is in comedy, so that was.
So yeah, I don't normally feel like I should say anything about an issue or anything, even because I'm always like, well, there's somebody who's felt it more than me or could do it more articulately than me, and also, do I want the hassle? No. But this time I was like, it really bugged me, so I was like, no, I will. And then I sort of stuck by it, and I was very like, you know, okay, that was good. I just really want, if I make that person or this, but there's like four
nervous
or five of them nervous for a night,
yes,
then that's all I want to do. And so someone used it as a headline, which was like an anecdote from a gig that I did ages and ages and ages ago, that I didn't name the comedian, and I'd heard numerous things about him, and and he's not come up in any of the actual official conversations, but I'm fairly sure he will have seen that headline. So it'd be like, great. Okay.
I really like, I vibe off that feeling. I know exactly how you feel from that, because that's literally how I felt the entire campaign, because I couldn't prosecute the guys, but I kept putting like supplying Sky News or BBC or whatever with the photos, but their faces are blurred. And I hoped that for 2 years they were worried I was going to say who they were, but I just didn't the whole time.
Because
I wanted them to be fucking
that.
Nervous. Yeah.
You never said that before. That's such a good, good.
But
and they were.
They should
nervous.
Be shaking in their boots. All these men that are committing behavior like that should be shaking their boots. And if you can do that some way, I think that is a win in some respect.
Yes, definitely. So what's your best post?
Okay, so my best post, God, it's all, our best posts are all feminism today.
Oh, yeah. All my posts are feminism. What time?
Pretty much. Aren't they all? Isn't that just life? 7th of July, and basically the week of 7th of July, somehow I had two guys from my past, so I don't really know anymore, one from high school and another one from uni, come into my inbox and ask, basically just like, want, like, catch up. And then it was like, okay, hi, and then why, but also hi. And then the conversation always, as it always does with lots of people in my life now, kind of segued into, I have a question I actually want to ask you, but like probably not now. No, it's fine, go on. Because I feel an obligation, like if I'm not the one having these conversations, because I just assume guys are so further on in this conversation, because I mean, it's all I hear, this conversation in my life about gender inequality. It's exactly the same. Well, anyway, yeah. So I feel like people should be further on. And then obviously they come in with these questions, and I feel like, well, if I'm not going to answer that question, who is going to answer that question to them and tell them and explain to them why that is not the way it is?
Yeah.
So I felt obliged to, and I had this conversation one with one of them over voice notes for like an hour and a half, and it was absolutely infuriating. And then another one over Facebook Messenger, and basically the question was in two different ways, but it was basically the same thing. The first one was, do you not think your kind of like fun lifestyle fashion sort of vibe is really detrimental and doesn't help your work, because your work's actually quite serious? And no, not at all. That's the answer to that. And then another one was the same, but it was sort of about, it was about basically about fashion, really. Like, you're very feminine, you're very, like, you know, lifestyle-y. I love fashion, and do you not think that takes away from your serious work? And I told them why I didn't, but it played on my mind so much, because these people, obviously, it's like a cut to moment. I knew them when I was younger and more insecure and didn't know who I was yet. And they were both specifically characters who pride themselves on their like intellectual academia as men, and they sort of therapize in the way they speak and all this stuff. And I remember feeling very inadequate in their presence when I was younger. And so when they came back and asked this question, I was too nice and I tried to explain why. But you know, when you can't do the, well, I can't answer this because you don't get 1 + 1 = 2. So how do I explain 4 + 5 is whatever that is, 9. Like, how do I do this? Because I need to take you back all of these steps so that you know that even that question is misogynistic in its entirety, just to ask and question if a woman can do her job well if she likes fashion as a concept is sexist. And I was putting too much effort into it, and Geordie heard one of the voice notes from this guy, and in one of his voice notes he said, I just feel like that your particular type of femininity and stuff, and like that your identity, like a lot of young girls wouldn't relate to that because you're very like fashiony, and you know your Instagram's kind of like the Gina show. And I said, yeah, it is the Gina show because it's my Instagram, and actually my Instagram isn't my job. I do a lot of other stuff, and I've been in rooms with people talking for the last 3 years, and I like fashion and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I posted this post basically saying about how like somehow this conversation has come up with two guys. The first rule, obviously, in any of this work is that you never ask someone more marginalized than you why they show up in the world as they do. And you certainly don't offer an alternative way. You always punch up. As a white man, you should be punching up and solving the problem, not punching down and asking women why they are the way they are. In the same way that as a white woman, I would never come into a black woman's inbox or a disabled person's inbox or a non-binary trans person's inbox.
You think having like your hair like that is setting you back and making people think you're too black? And of course, is that...
Exactly. Like, I would never ask because that would be racism, and that would be... really messed up to do that. So it's like, and of course it's not the same thing, like I'm not as marginalized, but it's just that is the rule, you just don't do it. And then I basically was saying about how like guys will only ever describe who have no idea will only ever describe femininity as either an oppressive like patriarchal ideal. So he was like, I know femininity is like the fact that women are tied to like hair and beauty. Firstly, it's such a binary conversation in the first place. I just in that conversation, I just think like, how can you think you know more about this than a woman?
Because you've not felt like it.
You've never lived it.
You've not felt the need to shave your legs or like presumably, or you know, wear makeup. So how do you know? Well, so you think that we're constantly being like, for men, and of course, like very deep. Yes, it is.
Maybe, but it's
developed. So deep, and it's developed, and it's got a million. You have to spend. It's like a big sweater, and you've got to spend like 100 years unpicking it before you can.
Yes,
and you can't unpick it if you don't have the needles of experience.
Oh my god, that was amazing! I saw your face when you found that before you said it. It was great. Right. Like he said. I know that beauty and fashion is like an oppressive force for women, but it's also one that has power over men. It's like, if that's the two ways you see femininity, then you only ever see femininity recognizing it as in proximity to men. You didn't even mention the fact that femininity can be a really wonderful form of self-expression, and the fact that when I was going into male-dominated spaces and wearing bright colours and red suits, it actually made my job harder, but it raised valid questions about sexism in that space, and that they would judge me.
Yeah, and are we supposed to dress like a man?
I need to assimilate to be a man to be taken seriously.
Yeah, but nah. But that post that you did, where you publicly sort of took them down, but not naming them.
Very nicely.
I think that was so good, because that's basically like the dream, isn't it? That's the equivalent of seeing your ex, you're wearing like an amazing dress, and you're like, oh, sorry, I've just got a call because I'm just buy, sell, just calling Japan, sorry. Like that's the kind of, that's the equivalent. Like, you have a massive following, you have a whole career, you've done...
By mistake, and that's what do you know what I mean?
Yeah, they just think, I guess, like, oh, she's got lots of followers, that's why she did that. It's like, no, it's the other way around. She did.
Yeah, the work came first.
And that's why. So that it was a really great like flipping the bird to those people,
we were talking about before, when you say, you know, about being younger and posting for someone, that's why I say, well, sometimes I still do that.
Yeah,
I wanted, you know, one of which was an ex-boyfriend and one was a very close male friend in back in the day. Whether or not he can tell, I think there is a part of him that wants to show up in my DMs and still feel like, oh, I'm still clever at that. Another, I know she's got
they want to check. They want to check.
Yeah, they're still in.
Still,
but he's not. He has no idea what he's talking about. Yeah. And so, I guess it just felt like that's the first time I've ever done that. I don't subtweet whatever, but it felt like, well, if two guys have come into my inbox for this conversation, then clearly guys are thinking this a lot. And I just want to set out some boundaries here, because I'm going to get this question probably a lot more, and this isn't cool. It's not a question I want to receive.
Really, really.
So I was really
good.
Proud of myself for that.
Well done. Good, best post. You know what? Really interesting. Lovely to chat to you, actually. You've been a really great guest.
You've been a good guest too. You should come on more.
Oh my god, yeah. And in 2 weeks' time, we should maybe do it again with like James Acaster. I don't know.
Oh my god, I can't believe you just told everyone.
I know. Well, he's spoiler come off social alert. Media. And so we spent, and it's so interesting finding out as for why. Please do follow us at Might Delete Later Pod on Instagram and Might Delete Pod on Twitter. And if you have any people that you think, oh yeah, that'd be good, they should get them on.
Want to hear about them.
Yeah, email us mightdeletelaterpod@gmail.com. Give us a little subscribe, a little review.
Oh, give us a little rate, a review. It helps people find us. And remember, social media can be funny and silly, and it can be a way to subtweet one of your exes. But regardless, you can always just delete later if it stresses you out too much. And we have your back.
We have your back. And I have your back, Gina.
I have your back too. Your backside as well.
Oh my God, my rear end. Okay, goodbye, everybody. See you in 2 weeks.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.